Good morning, welcome back. We are up to a lot of rabbis in a room. Tanu Rabbanan on Zion Med Aleph, towards the bottom, about 14 lines from the bottom, for the, you know, about 14. I'll give you an exact count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay? Tanu Rabbanan, middle of the line, Tanu Rabbanan. Today we're going to discuss what science could really play a role in halacha. It doesn't matter if the science is correct, and then we're going to talk about relative norms and how that plays itself out. It's very interesting. Tanu Rabbanan. Yeah, 13. Tanu Rabbanan. Kol shetashmisha bayom, whoever has relations by day, nolad bayom, their child will give birth by day. Not their child, they will give birth by day to a child. V'chol shetashmisha balayla, if they have relations at night, and as opposed to day, nolad balayla, they're going to have birth at night. Whoever has relations both by day and by night, nolad ben bayom ben balayla, will give birth both by day and night. Now the Gemara clarifies. Kol shetashmisha bayom nolad bayom. When we talked about the one who could have relations by day and give birth by day, zutar nagolas. That's talking about a chicken. Kol shetashmisha balayla nolad balayla. Somebody who has relations at night and gives birth at night. Who do you think we're talking about? Zu'atlef. Very good. Very good. It's talking about a bat. What? Oh, you read the translation ahead. Kol shetashmisha ben bayom ben laila. Those who have relations by day and by night. Who is that referring to? That's an adam v'chol d'adam elai. That's talking about humans and anybody who is comparable to humans. Okay, which is the exception of chickens and bats. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to clarify. What's the difference in the end of the day? Like, the Gemara doesn't just tell us facts. What? How does this apply to halacha? That's what, yeah. Again, that has relations. You know, yeah. Yeah, that's which a chicken does or doesn't. It depends on the chicken. Anyway, Amar Mar. Kol shetashmisha biyom nolad biyom. This is talking about a zutana kol. It says the Gemara, lemai naf gamina. And this question is important here, and it's important in general. Meaning, in the end of the day, if you're giving me a medical fact or a historical fact, what's the difference? Lehalacha, right? We have to view the world through the prism of halacha. And just because it's an interesting fact, you're not going to use it on College Bowl or Jeopardy. What's the difference? And the Gemara wants to know, lemai naf gamina. What? No. Anyway, lemai naf gamina. So says the Gemara, l'derav mari breya derav kahana. It's to help us out with the opinion of Mari Barav Kahana. What did he say? Damar of Mari Barav Kahana. Badak bikana shel tarnagol. Unless he check a chicken coop or nest. Me'erv yomtiv, erv yomtiv. Right bein hashmashis, right before it starts. V'loy matzah ba'beitza. And you didn't find an egg. Ulamacher hishkim u'matzah ba'beitza. And the next day you wake up in the morning and lo and behold, there's the egg. What's the status of that egg? Says the Gemara, muteris. That egg is mutter. Meaning, we don't assume that that egg was laid on Yantif, and it will be a Beitza Shenolda Asr Yantif. But rather, we presume, based on science, since a chicken doesn't lay an egg at night, and only by day, that that egg must have been laid yesterday. Even though you didn't find it, says the Gemara, I v'halei baduk. But you looked, you searched, and you didn't find it. Says the Gemara, Amar loy baduk yafa yafa. Say you didn't check properly, like, you know, your parents tell you. Did you find your retainer? You know, you ever get that? Did you find your retainer? Did you look? Did you really look? I mean, there's two kinds of looking. There's looking and there's really looking. And the reason, good morning, Avi, and the reason why you didn't find that egg was because you didn't look properly. Now, the Gemara says, Va'afilu baduk yafa, even if you checked really intently, Amar say, Yatza Ruba, the egg came out of the chicken Erev Yom Tov. The Chazra went back inside the chicken and then came out right after that. Yatza Ruba, the Chazra, Havei Ukid Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan who holds that that din of a Beitza is as if it was born Erev Yom Tov. Anyway, you see something fascinating here, is that the science that the Chachamim have noticed takes precedence over the actual reality, which was that even though you checked and didn't find an egg, it can't be that the science is incorrect. And therefore, the egg must have been born when Erev Yom Tov. The egg must have been born Erev Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Eini, is this so? Is this really so? right? Is this the din that a beitza that's found in an egg prior to Alos HaShachar of Yom Tov, it's mutter, even if you checked the night before and didn't find it? Let's say you checked on the Kana Erev Yom Tov in the nest, and you didn't find an egg. And the next day you woke up before sunrise, taki, you found an egg. It is Asura, which is exactly against what we just said. Why? Because the presumption is that Taka, the chicken, the egg was laid on Yom Tov, meaning the night of Yom Tov. So how could you say that we assume that there's no such thing as an egg that's laid at night? So says the Gemara, there are two kinds of eggs. He says, Hasam over there, it wasn't laid by a male, but rather by the Safna Me'ara. They were talking about a chicken who warmed up the egg by the land, right? And it did not gather up a seed from a male chicken. Okay? And in this way, sometimes they do that at night. So this beitza that was found in the early morning before sunrise, we could assume was laid at night. So says the Gemara, an obvious question. Right? What's the obvious question? Right? We said in the first case, that was an egg that was laid by a male, right? One's a hen, one's a rooster, or whatever it is, right? Right? That was an egg that was laid by a male, and therefore that one had to be given birth by day, even though you didn't see it, because if you have tashmish by day, then you lay it by day. This one, not the case, because it was laid by the ground. So what about the first case? Why can't we say what?
Same thing.
Why? Well, how do we know proof positive that it was laid by a male chicken? Maybe it was also b'dechama me'ara in the first case. Frakta Gemara Kasha, ihachi derav Mari, when Rav Mari said his din, nami ema me'ara safna. How could we rely and say that for sure the egg was laid by the previous day? Say, maybe it was b'dechama me'ara, that it was warmed up by the land. Says the Gemara, b'di'ika zacher b'hada. We have a mesorah. We say that if there's a male there, and therefore we could presume that the male warmed up the egg and had tashmish with the lady egg, with the lady chicken. B'di'ika zacher b'hada. Says the Gemara, who says? B'di'ika zacher nami ema me'ara safna. Even if there's a male there, say that the chicken warmed up from the land. Who says that their male was involved in the production of this egg? Says the Gemara Amaravina, comes along another scientific fact. You ready? Gemiri, we have a tradition. Whenever there is a male around for a female, they're not going to utilize the ground. And therefore, we assume there was a male. And if there was a male, when do male chickens and female chickens have tashmish? By day. When do they give birth? By day. And therefore, if you find the chicken before sunrise, we could assume that that egg, if we find an egg before sunrise, we can assume that that egg was laid prior to Yom Tov, because there's no way was that egg laid at night. And even if you didn't see it before Yom Tov, either you didn't check properly, or you checked properly, but the egg came out and went back into the chicken. Okay, so now, when do we have this tradition that the female uses the male if the male is around? So what does that mean, the male is around? Now what the Gemara is going to try to figure out, what does that mean that the male is around? How close does the male have to be considered around that the chicken was laid by the male and not by the land, by the ground? So says the Gemara, V'ad Kama. So Amar of Gamda Mishmei Derav, Kol Hecha, turning over to Zayin Amar Beis, Deshama Kala B'yamama. As far as any way that the chicken could hear the voice of the other chicken by day, then it won't use the ground, but rather will go to the male, and therefore we know it wasn't given birth at night. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ovid Rav Mari Uvda. One time Rav Mari did a case, and he had a case, and when he checked Erev Yom Tov, and he didn't find an egg, and he woke up before sunrise, and he taka found an egg, and he allowed the egg, ad shitin batik. He allowed it if there was a male chicken within 60 homes, which is quite the distance. What? Not batel b'shishim. Batel b'shishim is a din in tarovis, a din in a mixture where we don't have the taste. It doesn't infuse it with flavor. It's less than 1/60. Here, he uses the term that it's got to be 60 homes away. Right? Each house within 4 amos, so it comes up to 60 times 4, which is 240 amos, which is the distance of about 450, 460 feet, almost the size of a football field and a half. 15 first down. Okay. V'ikanara, but let's say there is a river between the two chickens, loy avra. The chicken wouldn't cross the road. V'ikamavra avra, but if there is a bridge between the two, taka, the chicken would cross the road. V'ikamitra, but v'ikamitra loy avra. But if there is a very narrow bridge, like the whole world, they wouldn't cross. Right? And then the baits would be asr. Avuvda v'avra amitra. There was once taka, though, a case, and the chicken did cross a very small bridge. Okay. Just remember, the whole world is a narrow bridge. And this is the answer to the question, is why the chicken crossed the road. The reason why the chicken does cross the road is if the male's around. So you've been wondering this your whole life. Why did the chicken cross the road? It's not to get to the other side. It's to find the male chicken. Okay. The Gemara now going to ask on this Yisod of Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul that it warmed up from the land, from the ground. B'mayu kimta. B'disafna me'ara. Right? You check, and we assume that it warmed up from the ground. So my area. So therefore, what's the case of baduk? My area baduk. Who cares if you checked? Kilo baduk nami. Even if you didn't check, right? When do we assume that the egg was born at night? That's because you checked by day, you didn't find any, and then you checked the next morning before sunrise. So we assume that that egg came at night because it warmed up from the ground. He says, even if you didn't check the night before, you couldn't eat the egg that you found the morning of Yom Tov before sunrise. Why? Because we assume it happened at night. So what? Even if you didn't check, kilo badik, so he says, kilo badik nami. It would also be aser. Alts a suffix. We don't know when the egg was born. A suffix, beitza, whether it was born on Yom Tov or not, should be aser. Says the Gemara, kilo badik, because if you didn't check, you're looking at this egg, you could say, ema me'as mohavi. Say that the egg was born yesterday. And if the egg was born yesterday, right, if you discover this egg, let's say the first day of Sukkot, right, the night before, right before sunrise, you could presume, perhaps, that the egg was born Erev Sukkot, making the egg permissible. So says the Gemara, right? Wait, where'd I go? Kilo ma'ir, kilo badak, so kilo badak, ema me'as mohavi. Says, yohachi. He says, if that's the case, ki badik nami, even if you check, ve'ema, you could say, yatsa ruba v'chazri. Some of the egg came out and went back in. Ukad Rabbi Yochanan. And like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that this beitza is permissible to eat on Yom Tov. Answers the Gemara to all of these things, de Rabbi Yochanan lo shchiach. That case is very unusual. Therefore, it's logical that this beitza that came out on the night of Yom Tov, rather than saying that it came out Erev Yom Tov, and therefore this egg is Aser. So now we have our egg with a situation where there's no other egg around. We could assume that the egg was born at night because this chicken warmed up the egg from the ground, because they only use a male if the male is around. Okay, the Gemara now brings one of the Maimer of Yossi ben Shaul, since we're on the topic, from Yossi ben Shaul, Marav, Haituma Shechika Sakanta Leguya. This garlic that is ground up, it has a sakana of what's called giloy. What is giloy? Did you know that if water is uncovered, if uncovered or revealed, right, you cannot drink it in the morning? You know why you can't drink it in the morning?
A snake may have put venom in it.
Correct. Right? Ushmar sev nasha sechem ma'od. From here, people bring rais, you can't smoke. Right? Because the halacha is telling us a medicinal fact. So, same thing with smoking, right? They wanted to bring rice for that. Back in the day, Dr. Fred Ross. So similarly, we don't do that. So similarly, we don't ever put labels on groups. So similarly, when it comes to ground garlic, it has this problem, what's called giloy, that it could be that the nachash may have desired it, and then they may have put their venom in it, and that would be tragic for any of us to eat. Okay, now the Gemara is going to shift topics. If you remember, all the way back the first day of the year. The Gemara does it often. If you have an Amoraic statement, what they'll do is they will then give you another statement of the Amora. The most famous one of those is in a Gemara in Shabbos. They're going through all of the Gemaras, and it says, like, we're talking about the Gemaras of Hanukkah, that you can't light a menorah 20 amas high. And then it says, and oh, by the way, they threw Yosef in a pit. Nachashim v'akrov meinbo. Right, not that there was havabor break in Bomayim, but there was nachashim and akrovim, and so on and so forth. So it gets into that, right? So what's the connection between Hanukkah and Yosef? And then people, Darshan the Grof famously says, because the nachashim and akrovim were below 20 amis, and you couldn't sholit be'ena. So even though on a simple level, the reason why they repeat it here is just because another member of Yosef ben Shol, after there is a deeper reason, which I do not know.
Yeah.
Very often, and al pi drush they do. Okay, so if you remember all the way back, we're going to quickly chazer the Mishnah that we did all the way back in the beginning of the year. We were discussing what was the theme of the Mishnah. So you guys remember this, of all of the halachas of the Mishnah. The first was the Beis Hashanolda, and Beis Shammai says the Beis Hashanolda v'yontav is mutter, Beis Hillel says asr. So what was the theme of the entire Mishnah? The theme of the entire Mishnah was discussing kulas of Beis Shammai and chumras of Beis Hillel. One of the kulas of Beis Shammai was he allowed that by, there was a... Beis Shammai said that when it came to Seor, there are two kinds of prohibitions on Pesach, in terms of chametz. One is Seor, one is yeast, and one is chametz proper. So he held that a Seor is going to be ushered just by a kezias, right, and chametz is going to be ushered by a kosevis, which is a tamar worth, a day's worth. Beis Hillel says both of them are going to be prohibited by a kezias, and he's not going to extend the isra by a chametz. And the Gemara is going to start off today saying, "My time into Beis Shammai, what is the logic of Beis Shammai that he is going to have that chumra?" So tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to get to it, and we'll discuss this. Great, Nakuta. Great being back. Great being learning with you. And thank you for making my mornings that much more exciting.